most commonly known as the Great Commission, Jesus gives us, through the 11 disciples, a vision of his universal authority, his charge to make disciples, and the gifts that he gives to bring the world the good news, the Word of God, and holy baptism. If you look on the back of your bulletins, you'll find First St. Paul's mission statement. It has three headings: proclaiming Christ, nurturing faith, and serving others. I commend it to you to read. It's really what we believe. It's what we believe and how we fulfill Christ's Great Commission today as a particular community of faith. But it's also good to revisit Jesus' simple yet profound words here in Matthew. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. This is the foundation of the Great Commission, the universal reign of Christ. He's creator. He's sustainer of the universe. He has conquered all sin, all evil, and even death itself on the cross of Calvary, raising victoriously from the dead. We confess in the creed that he is seated at the right hand of the Father. That is the scripture's way of saying that Jesus rules all creation in the strength and unity of the Father and the Holy Spirit. Or as I used to sing as a young child, he's got the whole world in his hands. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, my seminary professors used to say, wherefore the therefore? Or, what is the therefore there for? The cornerstone is Christ. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, he says. He's bringing everything together. He holds all things together. And therefore, our mission flows from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has acted. Now, it's your turn. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Oddly, in the New Testament here, the word go is really the word going, G-O-I-N-G. The main verb is make disciples. The charge is for us to disciple. You could translate it this way: as you are going, make disciples. Or as you go, disciple. Jesus assumes that his people will be on the move. They will leave the city of Jerusalem. They'll go into the region of Judea. They'll go to the neighboring country of Samaria. And they'll go to the ends of the earth. And as they go, they'll make disciples. But they are also not just apostles, as we later find out. The world was not evangelized through the apostles, you might be surprised to know. It was those traveling business people. People whose trade it was to color fabric purple, for example, or make tents. They were craftsmen. A lot of them were soldiers and politicians. And as they went throughout the world, they proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ through one-on-one conversation. And to this day, that same commission extends to you and to me. I think the word go is there to remind us that we need to be flexible. It means that you and I need to take the initiative for conversation. It's our responsibility to make the first move. And like the early church, we need to be those willing servants as we travel through the city, as we travel through the world, and as we come across people that might be very different from you and me. Sometimes the going is the easy part. It's the conversation that we start with the person sitting right next to us. What takes courage and openness is beginning the conversation. It takes a prayerful attitude to not let these opportunities pass us by. As you go, make disciples, Jesus says. The word disciple is based on the word pupil or learner. It does not go and it doesn't say this, go and make scholars. It does not say go and make experts in Scripture. As you go, make people disciples. That is to say, people who are curious, people who are open to new information, people that are teachable, those who are eager to learn and grow. That is a true disciple. Someone who is excited to learn more about the Bible. A disciple is someone who's open to ideas that don't come from human beings, but from God. Stuff that transforms and actually transcends our understanding. A disciple loves to discover, even if it's been in the Scripture all along. Even if it has always been there. A disciple is teachable. It's our job to encourage people to be teachable. A disciple learns from others, even from, and perhaps especially from, a child. Out of the mouth of babes, God has ordained strength, Scripture says. The word for nations is based on the Hebrew word goyim, or Gentile, and the New Testament word ethnic, or ethne. In other words, this is not making disciples of politically organized countries with boundaries. No, this is making disciples of every ethnic group, people groups, or as Scripture says, every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. That means that Jesus does not favor one tone of skin over the other, or one dialect over another, or one culture, or one geography. What Jesus gives us is a vision of a commission that begins and spawns a global movement. And the two means of doing this will be baptism and teaching. Even the way God chooses to do this should challenge us and even bewilder us in our human understanding. How can baptism do such wonderful things? How can water do such great things? How could teaching do such life-transforming things? God chooses the foolish things in the world to shame the wise, he says us. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord. And so he chooses water. He chooses the Spirit, along with his powerful name, the triune name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He washes away sin, guilt, shame. He eradicates division and ethnic and personal pride. And he molds us into the teachable ones. The disciples. Disciples who are eager to grow and learn. And so we, as sisters and brothers, get to share this journey of discovery, learning and growing into the people of God that he wants us to be, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, Jesus says. It doesn't say teaching them to memorize or systematize my teaching, not to become theologians, but to observe, that is, to do what he commands. One person wisely said, Christianity is not about making us smarter sinners, but more godly and faithful followers of Christ. Isn't the Great Commission wonderful in the truest sense of the word? Even who God is should fill us with wonder. One God in three persons who transforms the world through water and the Spirit and the Word. God's ways are indeed not our ways. It should also fill us with wonder that He would choose the likes of you and me. God truly has a sense of humor to use us, water, bread, wine, the spoken word, to transform the world. What a privilege and an opportunity is to not only be called to this, but to participate in this global movement of God in the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.